Hi, we welcome you to join us in today's Living in Christ Bible study, in which we're going to examine some statements of the Apostle John and Jesus, which appear to directly contradict most Christian teaching today. I'm Leon Steele, and the purpose of this study is to find out if the words in John's Gospel are true. And if they are verifiably correct, then we have to consider why so many of our churches teach as God's truth doctrines that are diametrically opposed to what are so clearly taught in the Gospel of John. We have all manner of disagreements and conflicts among our vast numbers of Christian churches concerning the various teachings and practices each church or denomination has settled on as being the correct way to be saved from death and be given eternal life. Reason and the Scriptures each tell us that the truth stands alone and apart from all other beliefs and teachings. In his first letter to the church, the Apostle John says this about truth and about lies or untruths. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. John says, I have not written to you. You know, John's writing to the church. I have not written to you, John says, because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Truth has nothing within it that can be changed in any way and still be true. And therein lies the one great problem of Christianity, with all its different teachings claiming to be the truth of God. Now, I know it's a problem to try and follow what's being said and at the same time keep up with the scriptural references as we go through them. So if you like, we'll be glad to send you an entirely free CD copy of today's program, which is number 104. And you can use this for reference in your own studies or whatever purpose you want to use it for. There are no shipping or handling charges. There'll be no follow-up of any kind. And you can contact us by phoning 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you're welcome to download any of our programs from our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, these CDs are totally free. And we also welcome any questions, suggestions, or comments you may have concerning any of our programs. And I'll go through this contact information again at the end of today's program. We all intuitively know there can be only one truth containing all of God's truth and teaching. God states over and over that He has given His complete truth to us in a man, in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself makes that plain in John chapter 14 and verse 6 when He says this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. With those words, Jesus has really narrowed down our consideration of truth from Christianity's untold numbers of ways and truths, which are taught in Christ's name, to only the way Christ Himself has provided for us through His life, death, and resurrection, through His truth, which He has given or was given by the Father to pass on to us, and through His life as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. In doing so, Jesus effectively lessened the choices of all who wish to enter into the eternal life of Christ Jesus, and He reduced that from the infinite numbers of teaching offered in Christianity to His one way, His one way, truth and life. And that means for us, regardless of whatever is taught in the doctrines and practices of our churches as being the will and truth of God that will bring salvation, it is only the person and teaching of Christ Himself that can save anyone from death and give them eternal life. Jesus is emphatic in His words teaching of God's one and only way for anyone to enter into His life and kingdom, that it must be entered through His way, which He prepared for us to follow, through His truth and words given to Him by God the Father for us to trust in and follow, and through His eternal life, which is the gift of God given to all believers. It requires us to become like Jesus, because Jesus is the first and only man to have been born of a woman, to have lived a totally sin-free life, to have died in the flesh, to have been bodily resurrected with a new eternal spirit body, and who has returned to God the Father in heaven as the firstborn son of God's kingdom. Now, the things I'm going to go through are God's own true words given to us by Jesus Christ, his son, and I know beforehand from the massive amount of research done on Christian beliefs and doctrines that most will not like nor accept much of what I'm about to say. As I said, though, these are God's timeless, immutable truths of salvation given to mankind by God the Son, the man Jesus, who was born of a woman and of God. Now, we see things from the vantage point of looking back through 2,000 years of history in the church, and it seems very different. But from God's perspective, nothing has changed from when Jesus walked here on earth as a man, as God the Messiah who had come to the earth to bring God's truth and life to all who would believe in and accept him as Savior and Lord. God's not changed in any way. Christ has not changed. His words of truth have not changed in the least. And God's work of salvation is exactly the same today as it was then. In the 8th chapter of John, we find Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees, who were the most religious and meticulous keepers of Israel's law, and they're giving Jesus a severe grilling, trying to prove that he's a fraud and a fake, and even going so far sometimes as to accuse him of falsely claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah, that Israel had long been expecting. But after telling them in many different ways that he was the Messiah, he says to them in verse 21, and this is John chapter 8, beginning in verse 21, "Then he said again to them, 'I go away, and you will seek me, but will die in your sin. And where I am going, you cannot come.'" Jesus knew they were going to cause him to be crucified, buried, and that on the third day his body was going to be resurrected, and that he would return to the Father in heaven from where he had been sent. But verse 22, "So the Jews were saying, 'Surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you cannot come.'" The Pharisees obviously would have been pleased if Jesus had killed himself, even though suicide was considered to be an extremely despicable act. But in verse 23, Jesus explains a lot to them about who he was and who he is, as well as who they are and also their condition. Verse 23, "And he was saying to them, 'You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world.'" Jesus reiterates what he had been telling them all the time, that he came down from heaven as the Spirit-born Son of God, because God was his Father, not Adam, and as the human-born Son of Man, because of having been born of a woman. And I'll come back to this in a few moments, but now Jesus continues in verse 24. "Therefore I said to you," Jesus tells them, "that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he," that is, unless you believe that I am God the Messiah and Savior, "you will die in your sins." So every last person is going to die in one of the only two ways man has been given by God. Either we will die in our sins under God's judgment of death, or we will believe in and accept Christ Jesus as the Savior and Lord of our life and die in him and escape God's judgment of death. And we'll look at some more of that in a moment. But let me read Paul's words to the Colossian church, telling them about dying and living then in Christ. Colossians chapter 3. This is verse 1. Paul says, "If you have been raised up with Christ," that is, if you have been spiritually born of God, as Jesus was born, "if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above," that is, the spiritual things of God. "Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Paul speaking to the church and to each person in it, saying that if they had been raised up to eternal life with Christ, they will have begun living the new life according to the Spirit of God within them. Verse 2, he said, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." And listen now to verse 3. He said, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The death of Christ by crucifixion for the sins of mankind included every person who would believe in and receive him as Savior and Lord of their life. For those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, for rescue from death and have received the gift of eternal life, their body will die, but not their new spirit and soul within, not their life. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, this is at Christ's return to the earth, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, in a few minutes, we'll look at how a person comes to be considered by God to be dead in body, even though the body is still alive here on earth. But back to John chapter 8 and verse 25 now. So they, speaking of the Pharisees, they were saying to him, to Jesus, who are you? And Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? Jesus had been telling them from the beginning of his earthly work that God himself had entered into the world of man as a man. He was in the world and being born as the Son of God. His origin was not of man, nor was he of this world. If they had been willing to believe him, they would have known who he had been eternally and who he had become. Verse 26, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize, and this is verse 27, that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said in verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, that is, when you crucify him, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus is very diligent to inform them that his words as a man originated not from his own mind, but they originated in God the Father, and they were being passed on to man through him. And we see this in the following verses. This is John chapter 12 now, beginning in verse 49. John chapter 12 and verse 49. Jesus said, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment, that is, all of the words that he was to say, that he has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And then in verse 50, Jesus said, I know that his commandments, his word, is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. And this brings us to the issue of truth that we began with earlier, that is, the difference between the words of men and the words Jesus spoke. As we read, Jesus says he spoke only the words God had given him to speak, just as the Father had told him. But what about all the words and doctrines and practices that we have in Christianity? Are they the same words God gave to his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pass on to us? Of course, all of Christianity knows very well that is not the case. Our churches, though, say that their teaching is based on clearly stated principles found in the words of Jesus or his apostles whose writings are in the scriptures. But here, though, we find the origin of the huge separation between the true eternal words of God given through Jesus Christ and the truth as proclaimed by men in Christ's name, using his truth as merely a principle to be built on as they choose. Each teaching and doctrine is said to be based on a principle found in Christ's word, but Jesus is not speaking principles that can be expanded in other ways. Rather, he's speaking the unchangeable, unalterable truth of God the Father as God commanded him. The problem in Christianity has always been that people use the words of Jesus as the basis for interpreting and applying his words to include other things that he never mentioned. Again, though, the words of God are not principles, as man has always understood and used them. God's truth is complete in itself and cannot be improved upon, added to, or interpreted by men. You know, the same thing was true of the Church of Israel. God gave Israel his Ten Commandments, along with other statutes and ordinances, but almost immediately they began wanting to add to the Ten Commandments and ended up with over 600 that they claimed carried the same weight as the original Ten Commandments God had given and that they were on the same level as God's commandments. That's using it as a principle. Now, here's what historically happened when Israel began using God's words as principles. They became progressively more sinful. The laws they added were not of the truth of God. And remember what we read earlier in John, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, that no lie is of or proceeds from the truth. They originated in the minds of men, and they seemed good, and they still do, because they were supposed to make men less sinful. But their effect was to set aside the truth of God and to replace it with their own version of truth. This is the same condition we in Christianity find ourselves in today. Man does not change. The Israelites had the mind of Adam, who had rejected the truth of God and substituted his own understanding of good and evil. And that is readily apparent in our Christian teaching concerning the truth of Jesus Christ in his person and word. Now, if you think I'm stating this matter too strongly, let's just begin to examine Christ's truth as it was spoken to the remnant of God's chosen nation of Israel, which are, by the way, still his chosen nation of people here on earth. But let's judge for ourselves how much the truth of God's word is believed and accepted today in Christianity. And let's begin with Christ's word in John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the most famous and most often quoted verses in the Bible. But here Jesus tells his followers this concerning salvation from man's curse of death and the receiving of God's gift of life. This is John chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but have eternal life." As far as I know, those words are taught in all of Christianity as truth. But how many people actually believe and place their trust in them to be completely reliable and true with no additions or interpretations? I expect that most of you have some experience in church attendance or are familiar with the doctrines and practices of churches in your area. So how many do you know who accept verse 16 as being totally sufficient for salvation with nothing added on man's part? Notice that Jesus begins verse 16 by saying, "For God so loved the world." He does not say that God so loved those who love him, but only speaks of the love of God for man. God so loved the world. God's love is so pure and strong that he gave his only Son, conceived in and born of a woman, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but instead enter into eternal life like Jesus. The only requirement he gives for man is to believe in Jesus Christ. So what can man add to that truth? Most churches agree with these words of Jesus, but with certain additions, such as men's confession of sins, repentance, which means to turn completely around and go the other way, obedience to the Ten Commandments, obedience to Christ, baptism into a church, good works, and all the other things that man has come up with to augment God's work of salvation. Now, here's the question we need to answer. Why do we not believe and accept Jesus' words when he says that God gave us Jesus Christ himself to save us by his sacrifice of his own sinless body and by dying for our sins in our place? Why do we not believe Jesus when he says that eternal life is the gift of a loving God for those who trust in and accept Christ as their Savior and Lord? And the answer usually is something like this. Well, we do that. We believe in Jesus, but we just want him to know by our works that we care enough to want to add a little something to what he has done. And this is exactly what Israel did. They only wanted to add a little something to the old covenant law that would make the people of Israel, in their eyes, less sinful and more obedient. What could possibly be wrong with that? Just this, that they did not believe in and trust God and his word and his mercy, but substituted their own in place of it. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul tells the Roman church about Israel and the Jews and how they got so far off course. This is Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, "Brethren, Paul says, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, he's speaking here of the Jews, of Israel, is for their salvation. He said, for I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, as does Christianity, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Christianity, too, has substituted all manner of works, of laws, of sacrifices and rituals, of worship, and other things too numerous to mention, rather than simply believing in Christ and subjecting ourselves to the righteousness of God by accepting him as what he said in John 14 and verse 6. And I quote again, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, so that we understand the truth and the origin of the man Jesus Christ, who's speaking in John 3:16, let's go back to the beginning of John in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. John's writing about the background and the origin of Jesus the man, and he says this in verse 1. In the beginning, he says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 2, he, and he's speaking again of God the Word, was in the beginning with God, that is, the Word always existed as God. He had no beginning, as God has no beginning. And verse 3 tells us, what he did is God the Word. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now, this is the Creator God described in Genesis. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. God the Word had life, and he could give life, and he did give life to all things that have life. Now, skipping down to verse 9 of chapter 1, we're told this about God the Word, who had entered into the world of man as a man, born of a woman, and whose father was God. Verse 9, there was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He, speaking of God the Word, who had been born of a woman as the man Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world knew him only as another man and not as God. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Now, verses 12 and 13 are key to understanding the unalterable truth Jesus spoke of in John chapter 3 and verse 16. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And then he continues, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. John recaps what he said in chapter 1 by telling us in verse 14, now about Jesus. Verse 14, and the Word, this again is God the Word that was spoken of in the first three verses, God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, there also is a further explanation given of verses 12 and 13 in the third chapter of John, where Jesus gives us another unchangeable truth regarding salvation in verses 3, 5, and 6. And he says this in verse 3 of John chapter 3. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's a complete statement of truth. In verse 5, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, that is, born of a woman and of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, a complete truth. Then he gives another truth in verse 6. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that, again, is an unchangeable truth that nothing can be added to or taken away from. Flesh produces only flesh, and spirit produces only spirit. So then, when we read in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, we know that person has believed in and has received Jesus and has been given the eternal life of God through being born again of God, as Jesus was born. But to further explain what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, I want to quote another immutable truth that Jesus states in Luke chapter 14 and verses 25 and 26, which states fully what is meant by believing in Jesus and becoming a disciple or a follower of him. Luke 14, verse 25. Now large crowds were going along with him, with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Of course, Jesus is not saying his disciples should hate anyone, but that they must place everyone else, including their own lives, second to their relationship and submission to Jesus Christ as first and foremost in their lives. This is where the separation comes in between those who say they believe in Christ, who say they confess his name and say they have submitted themselves entirely to God's will in their lives, and those who actually have believed in and received Christ and have been born again of God and are then made able by the new birth into the eternal spirit life of God to actually follow Christ all the way into God's kingdom as disciples who, like Christ Jesus, are not of this world but have entered into the eternal life of Jesus Christ. Let's go back now to John chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. And here Jesus tells God's purpose in sending Jesus into the world. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Verse 18, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And Jesus gives us a wonderful summation of this in John chapter 5 and verse 24. It's a summation of what has happened to a believer. Verse 24, John chapter 5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word," Jesus says, "and believes him," that is God who sent him, "has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." He's talking about a past event for believers. And regardless of what anyone may teach, and regardless of how good and righteous it's made to sound, God's word given through Jesus stands alone and apart from all else as the one and only truth of God. And how wonderful it is to know that whoever hears Christ's word, as he said, and believes the Father who sent him, has eternal life and will never come into God's judgment of condemnation, but has passed out of death into life. Now, if you'd like a copy, CD copy of today's program, just ask for program number 104 by phoning 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Or you can freely download any of our programs from our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. That's program 104. Our phone number is 501-316-0136.